In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You'll notice in this little unusual setup, a sort of a remnant of the way things used to be. You can go back. And that was that the person who was presiding over the liturgy or who was preaching would sit, and the congregation would stand. And so we've kind of got it backwards. But because we don't really have the type of setup, not quite yet, that they had in Hagia Sophia, where the great throne was 16 steps up, if I sit here, you'll just see the top of my balding head and no one will be edified whatsoever. So we'll have to just take this as a modern concession to the old St. James liturgy and the way that we currently doing it. Now, everyone, of course, is familiar with the story of King Solomon, correct? David's son, King David's son, who was asked by the Lord, essentially, for any gift that you want, anything you want. And I was thinking about this, if God had come to me and asked me, what would you like? You know, I'll give you anything that you want. You just ask. The first thing, of course, that pops into everyone's mind is, you know, the winning lottery ticket or all the riches in the world or comfort and health and a long life and this sort of thing. But that's not what Solomon asked for. Solomon asked for wisdom. And God gave him wisdom like no other man has ever received. He ended up giving him the riches and all that kind of stuff as well. But the wisdom was the one thing that Solomon desired, and he did indeed rule wisely. But as we see, and this is what's amazing, how a man with even the greatest wisdom in the world could fall, but yet he did fall. Because the Lord allowed that to happen, because pride seeped into him. Because Solomon, for all his wisdom, perhaps didn't realize exactly what this wisdom was. Because if anyone were to ask any one of us, what is wisdom? We would say that it's our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the wisdom and the power and the peace of God. Wisdom is not a thing. Wisdom is a person. And so when Solomon received wisdom, he was receiving Jesus Christ. He was receiving our Lord. And as long as he cooperated with our Lord, then things went well. And when he didn't, things fell to pieces, and the man with the greatest wisdom the world had ever known ended up having a not so great end. Now, for us to ask of wisdom in our day and age would perhaps seem to be a bit of a almost prideful thing. Because wisdom, even though it is the reception of our Lord Jesus Christ, cannot be done by any of us unless we first ask for humility. Humility is really the groundwork for all other things. And so if the Lord were to ask us today what we wanted, we should probably say humility. An ability to lay ourselves bare before another human being. An ability to disregard anything that happened to us in this life because we knew that our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ was going to be there to lift us up. And we think about what this might have to do with today's interesting gospel, again, of the Gadarene swine. Because one of the things that we so often think about today is evil in the world. And of course, humility always defeats evil, always. And there's a lot of evil in the world. And when we see naked evil, like we do in this gospel, from a man who was absolutely had given himself over to such debauched living that the devil was simply able to inhabit him with no problem whatsoever, such that he had tremendous strength. They had to bind him, yet he broke the chains as if they were ribbon. And he lived among the tombs and was in this really horrible state of mind. And he was in an area of the world that did not lend itself to righteous living, to Gadara, which one of the towns that is mentioned, also part of a larger community known as the Decapolis. And in this Decapolis, there was a mixture of Gentiles and Jews. And we might wonder what the big deal was of the pigs running into the lake and everyone being so upset with the Lord that they asked him to leave. Well, they were essentially raising swine against the dictates of the law. And perhaps that's why these Jews lived in this area of the Gentiles, because they knew that the profits would be much greater. And in some commentaries, we heard that it's as many as 2,000 of these pigs ended up in the lake. 2,000. So the area was not ripe for spiritual growth. And this one man had given into everything that one could possibly give into. And yet the Lord came out of his mercy and lifted him out of this simply because of his grace. The man evidently was known to all. Before this had happened to him, he was someone who was popular in the community. And immediately after this happens, he's seen sitting at the feet of our Lord Jesus and talking with him. And the Lord instructed him to go on and tell the story of what happened to him, perhaps planting the seed of evangelism in that area. So the Lord, in his mercy, came to him as he did to Solomon and gave of himself. And the man was able to recover from this hideous affliction that he was in. And so we see right then and there what evil is in our lives. We see its manifestation, how horrible it is, how it is not even worthy of living with pigs. It was only by the grace of God that the devil could go into these pigs. He has not power even over swine. But yet, as St. Gregory Palamas tells us, we don't have to be possessed to serve the devil in so many different ways. Because in many ways, those that simply volunteer to serve him in so many different instances by refusing to repent of their sins are as bad or worse than this man that was possessed in that area at the time. And this is something for us to really think about. Because as we look around the world, we see evil manifest in so many places, in so many ways. I mean, what's the weekly shooting? It seems to be that. What happened in Las Vegas? Can anyone doubt that there was not something that was demonically influenced to get a man to go up into a hotel room and start taking thousands of pot shots at a crowd beneath that was simply standing there? What kind of person does that? Of course, in the Lord's day, there were many instances of possession, and we read about them all through the Gospels. And today, we read about mental illnesses, and those things are very real. Drug addiction is very real. These things are all demonically inspired, especially having to do with drug addiction. But even in a case like this, and you heard it in the news, the first thing they start talking about with this guy up in the hotel room was that he was either radicalized or he was mentally ill. And since the weeks have gone by then, and no one can discover exactly what it is that was his motive, they can't find any evidence that he was radicalized. They can't find any evidence that he was mentally ill. This was all carefully planned out. All the people that knew him even talked about his success in his former life. What in the world could it be? It was indeed a case of this man giving into the devil himself and allowing him to enter into him and to guide his actions. That's the answer to this. whatever he had done in his life. It's the only thing that explains it. And of course, the news media, they're not going to talk about this. They're not going to talk about some spiritual problem here, some religious problem. Oh, goodness, yes, he was inspired by the devil. Ha ha, sure. What was really the problem? You know, that's what they say. But as Orthodox Christians, we know. We read this gospel today. We understand how it is possible to lose the grace of God as Solomon did, how it is possible to lose the grace of God as this man did and give himself over to evil, because there is no middle ground. You are either with God or you are against him. God is either in your life or you're giving it over to the evil one. And sometimes that can be a scary thing for us to think about, because we haven't repented of our sins. We haven't looked upon ourselves and said, God, help me to become like you. Help me to avoid evil. Set me apart as one who is holy and not as one who is willing to obey every little temptation of the devil that might come along, no matter what it is. That's an important thing for us to remember. That's an important thing for us to understand, why humility enables us to come before God and to say, Lord, I am here. Help me to do your will. Do your will within me. It's frightening, yet at the same time comforting, knowing that the Lord is there. Because many times often he comes in his providence to save a man or a woman, simply because he foresees the good that will happen if he steps in. It's a wonderful thing for us to offer prayers for people, and we do it all the time. And there's nothing more wonderful than when we find out one way or the other that somehow what this person was seeking came to them and solved their problem. They became healthy again. Their financial problem was solved. A dear friend or relative that was undergoing some terrible event in their life came out of it okay. And we look back and we think that that's wonderful. We should feel good that we participated in that prayerful progress of these people. But at the same time, we must never think that somehow, because we're not given to know this, that it was our particular prayer that turned the tide. That it was our prayer that somehow persuaded God to do whatever he was going to do. No, we're not allowed to do this. Out of humility, we understand that it is a blessing to us that God gives us prayer to enable to be able to change events in life, at least from our perspective. God, of course, knows everything, but he gives us his ability to change things. Humility is what we need. Humility and awareness of the world around us, to understand that evil is everywhere and that the only antidote to it is the reception of Jesus Christ in your heart, in your mind, and in your body, as we will do today. So, my dear brothers and sisters, remember this. Don't be afraid of the devil. If you are with Christ, as St. Cyril of Alexandria is very clear about, if you are with Christ, he can't touch you. He had not power even over pigs. How will he have power over a human being created in his image and likeness? He won't. He simply won't. So turn to him. Turn to him daily. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And when you see evil, pray for those who are enacting it, that they too may come to salvation, that the Lord too may touch them, that the Lord may grant them all that he has granted all of us. Resist him and he will flee. There is no reason to be afraid. The only thing we have to be afraid of is our own laxity and our own lethargy in not maintaining that spirit that God gives to all of us. Amen.